All right, that went mighty fast. Maybe we ought to do that again, amen? Y'all got to keep me out of trouble. All right, open your Bibles with me this morning to Romans chapter 5. Romans is an awesome book. You need to be reading it. If you hadn't read it, amen? It's a blessing every time you read it. It reminds us of a great thing. Our salvation through the Lord Jesus, amen? And I don't know about you, but no matter how many times you read it, you always find something new. And it'll be a real, real blessing to you. And I pray that this will be a blessing to somebody this morning. Fairly simple lesson, nothing deep, but serious, amen? Anytime we're talking about our salvation, that's a serious thing. And we have so many people today. I talk and see people all the time, talk to people. And there are so many people in so many different denominations and faiths, and they're just hung up on work salvation. Amen? And what brought this to my heart this week was my wife and I was in Walmart. And you know how it is, you go to Walmart, spend all your money, right? You got to eat. And we run into a family in there. They was from New York. And they were dressed odd, according to the way we dress. And of course, most people say we're dressed odd, right? Okay. So, but anyhow, I pretty much knew that they were Jewish. You could tell by their dress. And the fellow was a Jewish priest. But out of curiosity, I had to ask. It gives you an opportunity to share the gospel, or if you get a chance. So I asked him, what was their faith? And he says, faith? I said, yes, sir. What is your faith? He says, well, you mean my religion. I said, okay, what is your religion? And he says, well, I'm Jewish. So I kind of figured he was. And my wife spoke up real quickly before I could say anything else. She said, we're Christian. And that was the end of the conversation right there. It was done. That was all. He turned to his wife and he asked her something about the beans on the shelf. You know, I'm like, well, this is over. So anyhow, it was short-lived, but it was an opportunity. But and that's what the Lord laid this on my heart here this morning, is that something so simple to so many of us, yet so complicated. So we're going to look at this morning. So chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go any further, there we go again. We're starting off with that word, therefore, which basically means because of. In other words, we're fixing to move into something or read something that is pertinent to something that we should have already read. Amen? So if we were to go back through chapters 1 through 4, and which is what we're going to do. We only have a few minutes to do it. We're just going to do a real brief summary just to kind of give us an idea of what happened prior to chapter 5. So if we were to go to chapter 1, we'd find that God's wrath against sin. That's what the chapter is about. We're not going to turn to it. So I heard some pages rattling. We're just going to move through this quickly so we can get into our lesson in chapter 5. But in chapter 1, you would find God's wrath against sin. In Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then if you were to move over to chapter 2, we find God's impartial judgment of the Jew and Gentile. Romans 2:9 says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. In other words, he's showing us in chapter 2 that it's Jew and Gentile, amen? He's God of all, right? Then in chapter 3, we find that all have sinned and no flesh is justified by the deeds of the law. And we can read in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then if we move to chapter 4, we find that some of the advantages of justification by faith. In Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not input sin. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's an advantage. Amen. I mean, think about that. The Lord will not input sin. Well, when he paid our sin debt, he removed it. Amen. He taken it away. I don't know about you, but it's hard to get a hold of that, isn't it? It's hard to get a hold of that. And that's what Molly was just singing about. God's grace. Amen. And it is hard for us to understand that. Well, how are we not going to have any sins against us? Jesus paid the price on Calvary. He paid for all of our sins. You know what Jesus did on the cross is really simple when we look at it for what it really is. You know, when he died on the cross, you understand what he did was he took that white robe, the robe of perfection that he wears. He took that robe off and placed it on you. And he took your filthy garments and placed them on himself. That's what he did on the cross of Calvary. And it's just so hard for us to get our mind wrapped around that. But that's what he did. And it's as simple as that. Man makes things complicated. God made them simple. And they're simple facts that we have right here in the Bible. And yet we read them. And even though we read them, we don't believe them. I mean, how else could you get work salvation other than the fact that you're not believing what you read? Amen? That's what we're up against. Okay, now, moving back towards, if we was to go back, let me read a verse to you that would pertain to chapter 3. Galatians 3:24. It says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Folks, that's what the law was for. And today we try to keep the law. A lot of people are still trying to keep the law to get to heaven. The law was a schoolmaster to teach us that we can't keep the law. It was an education, amen? God gave us the law to show us that we're not perfect. We cannot keep the law. Therefore, we need Jesus, amen? It's just that simple. But man just won't let go of the old religion, like that Jew I talked to. You know, he reminds me of the story that Dr. Carter told about the monkey in the jungle, how they catch monkeys in Africa. You know, they take food and put it in a jar. Tie the jar to a tree, the monkey will go out there and put his hand in the jar to get the food. And to make sure the top's just big enough for the monkey to get his hand in. Then he gets his hand in, he grabs the food. Well, you know that monkey's so greedy, he will not let go of that food. So they catch the monkey, because he won't let go of the food. And you're saying, well, what an idiot. All he's got to do is let go and run. But you understand, people are doing the exact same thing with religion. They've got their hand in the jar, and they've got a hold to that religion, whatever religion they've got, and they will not let go. And that religion's got them trapped, and they're going to send them to hell because they won't let go and grab a hold to the truth. And you and I, we look at that, and it seems so simple. But this is what I ask you to do. And this is why your testimony, and this is why what you do every day is so important. The way you live your life is so important. Put yourself in the place of that monkey or in the place of that lost person that's got their hand in the jar. Remember when you were there? Because at one time or another, everybody in this room is born again believer and saved today by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, at one time or another had our hand in that jar. And it's only by God's grace that we were able to let go. And we grabbed a hold to the truth. And we need to keep that in our hearts and in our minds. And when we're out in the world every day, this is why your testimony, preachers are always talking about your testimony, how important your testimony is. Eyes are on you all the time. And if people have heard or you've ever mentioned that you're a Christian, then their eyes are on you even more. Because they want to see you fall. They want to see you live the way they live. You understand that? Because if they can catch you living the way they live, they feel better about the way they live. They justify their sin that way. They don't understand that you and I are under God's grace. They don't understand that sin is not imputed towards us. They haven't grasped a hold of that. So they're still looking for a way to pull you down. So that's why it's so important that each and every one of us uphold the things of God. You know, that's everything that we do as believers, the way we dress, the way we talk. You know, when you're in traffic and some idiot pulls out in front of you at 60 miles an hour, you know, good things don't flash before your mind, does it? You know? But it's important that you catch that and say, well, no, I shouldn't. That's not where I was supposed to be. I need to be over here. And that's not easy to do, but that's what we're supposed to do. Or when you walk in, have you ever been in the store and the lines are wrapped around the building, you know, and you're walking up to get in line and three people run, I mean, literally run to beat you to that lane. You ever had that happen to you? Yeah. My wife, that happened to my wife one time. And I had to grab her. Calm down. It's just a spot in line. Hey, give it to them. You know what I'm saying? And that's not always easy to do. But that's what we need to do as Christians. It's all about getting souls saved for the Lord. And we should be on guard. We should be on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're trying to lead other people to the Lord. And we can't lead other people to the Lord when we got the bad face on. Not that we're any better, because when you and I, we know we're not. We want to run to that line just like anybody else, you know. You want to slap the guy that pulled out in front of you, right? Sure you do, but you don't. But that doesn't mean you didn't want to. So, you know, these things, all these things are important. With that being said, let's get back to verse 1, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we're looking at justified, it means to be given a full pardon. Praise God. Amen. We have a full pardon. And when we look at the word faith, it's not by works, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have peace. We were before an enemy with God. And by being justified, where are we at now? We're back in peace with God. And the main word right here, I want you to catch this, it says through, right? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was his passion. It was his death. It's because of what he did on the cross that we're reconciled to God. Not by works, not by keeping the law, or not by anything we've done. Everything is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to stay focused on that. And look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It was only through Christ that we can even approach God. Amen? John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus. Amen? Not by Muhammad, not by Buddha, not by Allah, or any other little g god, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How does one glory in tribulation? That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? But if you want to see it done, go visit Miss Betty Flick. Oh, she is such a blessing. Every time I go see her, visit with her, she's not, no matter how bad things are for her, she's always in the highest spirits. That is a true Christian. That woman's got her Christian armor on 24/7. And no matter how bad, it doesn't matter what they tell her, it's good. It's all God's. It's all in his hands. And so let me read a verse to you. If I can find it and get the right one here. I believe it was in Matthew. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So we're commanded by God to love him with all our heart, all our soul, in all our mind. Well, let me ask you something. What's left? Nothing. So see, if we obey God's commandments and we put all of our might and all of our strength, all of our love where it belongs, is in the things of God. That's what Sister Flick does. Her mind, her focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in her tribulations, how does she glory in that? Because with her mind being on the things of God, not thinking about herself, not thinking about the world. Her focus is on the things of God. And if her focus is on the things of God, then she doesn't have anything left to put on herself. Because what she's saying is, she's saying, He's my God. He's my Creator. It's His decision as to whether I'm healthy, whether I'm sick, whether I have one leg or two or no arms or no eyes or can't see or can't hear. That is His will. And what she is remembering is the hope. She's focusing on the promise. She's focusing on the new body. She's focusing on the promise of God. She's looking ahead. She's believing the book. She's believing what she reads. You understand the difference between one person and another is what they believe. You understand she's got it. She's got her faith. She believes her book. She believes what God tells her. And her focus is on the things of God. Her focus is not on self. And every one of us can make that same decision. It's up to you and I where we put our focus. You know, you're born again believer. How you look and see God is up to you. You can do it according to the book, or you can do it according to the flesh. God's not going to make you serve Him. That's your choice. And sometimes I wish He would make us serve Him, amen? Boy, we'd be better for it, wouldn't we? But we're in the flesh. So what we've got to do is push these fleshly things off. And Betty Flick, she comes to my mind anytime I read any part of that scripture. Because she's just always a smile. And God bless her. You know, think about something. She's over in this nursing home. Tomorrow may be her last day. We don't know. We don't know how long she's got. None of us do. But she's got this smile on her face. And when she's visiting with the people in the dining room, you understand these people that's there are looking at her. And they're wondering, what is she so happy about? You know, why is she always so happy? Whatever she's got, I want some of that. And, you know, and she tells them it's Jesus. Well, it must be real to her. Think about that. It's real to her. And that's contagious. People want that. If you walk around being an old sourpuss all the time, they don't want that. They already got it. Amen? They don't need that. They're saying, hey, they're just like me. I don't need that. I'm looking for something different. Well, she's got the difference. She's got the Jesus. Amen? Well, we all need to put that robe of righteousness on and wear it around the way we ought to be wearing it, right? We all need to be a little more like Sister Flick. Verse 4, in patience, experience, and experience hope. Well, here it shows the genuine faith. It only comes from God. Amen. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The growth comes from the tribulations that we go through. Tribulations, all they do is make us trust God more. You understand that? When you're in the battle and you're in the fight and you're in the tribulation, no, it's not good. It's never good. But we put our focus where it belongs. When we come out of it, we're better for it. It helps us to trust God. We can look back. I mean, look at all the things Dr. Carter's got in his book back here. All these tribulations that the church has been through over the 40-some years he's been here. But you think that doesn't build character and build strength for our pastor? Sure it does. He's 80-something years old. Can you keep up with him? You know, how does he keep going? By faith. He trusts his God. He puts his faith in his God, not in himself. He's not looking at what I can do. He's looking at what I can do from God. What can God give me today? What can he give me? What strengths can he give me to help me do what I need to do today? That's where his focus is. And some people say, well, I don't know. I don't think he's any different than anybody else. And in the flesh, he's not. But in faith, he is. I mean, how many times have we seen him pray rain off the field out here? Anniversary Sunday. Amen? How many times have we seen rain prayed around camp out there? I mean, just, we can go down a list and just time after time after time where God has answered the prayers of the pastor and of his people. You know, it's not just the pastor, but it's the church. Amen? But all these things happen because of the faith. Through tribulations, he's gained strength from that. And none of us like tribulation. I don't know about you, but I don't like it at all. You know, when you're going through a hardship, and it doesn't much matter what, I don't even like getting a cold, you know? I'm a sissy when it comes to getting sick. I don't like being sick, amen? So I don't like these things. But they're part of what makes us who we are and helps us in our faith with the Lord Jesus. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You understand what that's talking about, without strength? That's talking about when we had our hands stuck in a jar, amen? We were weak, we were blind. Couldn't see the forest for the trees, right? That's where we were. Number 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Now look at verse 8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Us, the ungodly, amen? I want you to notice commendeth. That is present tense. It's not past tense. Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, amen? But you understand that love is still there today? You understand that blood is just as fresh today as it was the day he was crucified? He's telling you right here, but God commendeth. That's today. That's present. You understand, if you're here today and you're lost, that blood is just as good for you as it was for the man standing there the day he was crucified. God's love can be yours today just as well as it was mine 30 years ago. What a blessing to know that even today we can still be saved. Amen? Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from what? Hell. Hell. That's what it's talking about. We'll be saved from hell. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You understand that it's telling us here that when we're lost and we're in our sins, you understand we're enemies with God? We're not on speaking terms with God. We're enemies with God. It's only when we're reconciled to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price. You understand what he's told us, telling us right here? You understand when Adam sinned against God, sin fell upon all men, right? You and I. The Bible tells us that Adam was created in the likeness of God, in the image of God, right? Think about something. You've heard about the first Adam, and then we hear about the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't ever realize what we're talking about, but you do understand that Adam was created perfect, right? Amen. Adam had no sin. None. He was created perfect. Who else was created perfect? Jesus. That's why we call him the first Adam. You and I were never created perfect. See, if you go over to chapter 5 in Genesis, you find out that you and I were created in the likeness of who? Adam. After his likeness, a sinner. See, at that time, Adam had sinned against God. So when we were born, we're born in sin. We inherited the sin curse. We inherited it. I mean, you take a 3-year-old child, starts talking, 2 years old, whenever they start talking, and it's not long, they get a few words out, and the next thing you know, they've done what? They've told you a lie, haven't they? Did you teach them a lie? No, it comes natural. It's the sin curse. You have to teach a child to be good. They're naturally bad. We all are. We're naturally evil, wicked people, because we're born that way. And you understand that's why it's so good that God sent his Son. You understand that God loved you and I. He loved us enough, and he understands. He knows that we're born in sin. You and I had nothing to do with the garden. You and I didn't eat the fruit. We didn't disobey God at that time. Adam did that. And that curse was passed on to you and I. And the Lord God loved us enough that he sent the Lord Jesus that you and I, through Christ, could obtain salvation, not by works, but simply by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And yes, it brings joy, doesn't it? When you get saved and you receive the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's joy in your heart, amen? Wherefore, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's the Adam I was just speaking about. When Adam sinned against God, that sin curse was passed on to you and I and every other person that's born, amen? We inherited that sin curse. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. He said, well, now, let me read the next verse. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, so according to what we read here in Scripture, death comes by sin, right? Adam sinned against God. Now, the other people that were in the garden, however many was there at the time that this is speaking of, they hadn't sinned against God. They didn't eat of the forbidden fruit. But yet it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. I'm back up to verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Well, there was no law at this time. The law hadn't been given to Moses yet, right? But nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Well, how is that possible? How did they die if they hadn't sinned? Because they didn't break the law that Adam broke. So how did they die? There was no law. The law hadn't been given. So if the sin doesn't count because there's no law, why do they die? Because they inherited the sin curse. They inherited it. God's showing you right here how each and every one of us are partakers of the sin curse. Each and every one of us. And then he goes on to tell us, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Not of works, but the free gift. In other words, you don't work for it. If I have to work for it, it's not a gift. If I tell you, I'll give you $25 if you'll mow my lawn. That's not a gift, is it? You had to mow my lawn. You had to work for it. So that's not a gift. A gift you don't have to work for. So Jesus here, the Bible here tells us a free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's talking about Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God. In other words, what he's saying is that if Adam can sin and that sin curse be passed on to us, is not God more? Is not God more than Adam? Sure he is. So what about the grace? If the sin curse can be passed on to all, how about the grace? More the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. You understand that gift today is yours if you want it. It's free. You don't have to work for it. You know, you don't have to go to church to get it. You don't have to pay tithes to get it. You ought to, but you don't have to. You know, you don't even have to be nice. You don't have to smile at your wife. It's a free gift. You know, we just can't get a hold of that. It's free. It's absolutely free. The only thing you have to do is take it. All you got to do is ask God to give you salvation through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus died, buried, and resurrected, and you ask him into your heart, and he's yours. It's so simple, isn't it? It's so simple that man can't believe it. But that's salvation. Our problem is we won't get our hand out of the jar. And even Christians, even those of us that are saved, we see somebody do something. Really? We back up and go back to that verse where it says sin is not imputed. I have no sin. You understand when we talk about the glory of God? You understand that God sees me right now. He looks down at a heaven and he sees me perfect. And if you believe I'm perfect, ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm not. But God sees me as perfect. I have a mediator. The Lord Jesus stands between me and God at all times. So when God sees me, he always sees me through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we keep reading. It always says through Jesus, through Jesus, through Jesus. Because it's through him that I have salvation, by his blood. He paid the price on Calvary. It was his love towards us. Think about that. How many people would you die for? You know, if we could just get a hold of that sometimes. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, he can be yours. And it's free. You know, the Roman soldiers, they're still arguing today over who crucified Jesus. Was it the Romans or was it the Jews? Was it the Romans or was it the Jews? The Romans drove the nails in his hands. But the Jews are the ones hollering to do away with him, right? But do you understand that when the Romans were driving the nails in the hands of our Lord Jesus, you understand God loved them, Jesus loved them. He loved the soldier that was driving the nail in his hand. And all that soldier had to do was say, forgive me. Forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. You understand that's all that Roman soldier had to do to go to heaven? See, what we want to get it in our mind that people that sin, in other words, people who sin worse than what we think we sin, that's what we mean by that. We believe they can't go to heaven. A murderer can't go to heaven, right? I've heard people say that. But that's not what my Bible teaches me. My Bible says for whosoever. I'm a whosoever, and so are you. Anybody can go to heaven. And I've heard people say, I mean, have you ever been out soul winning? And you hear people say, well, I would like to get saved today, but I got a few things I got to get right first. I got a few things I got to get right. Let me tell you something. You're never going to get it right. You'll never, ever get it right. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what he did on the cross. It's about what the price that he paid. And the only way we're ever going to get it right is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're going to get it right. Amen? And folks, it's simple. Don't let anybody, any religion, any little g gods, don't let anybody confuse you on your faith. It's as simple as the Bible makes it. Romans 10 tells us what? You believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. It is just that simple. Doesn't matter what man says. It matters what God says. And that's where our focus needs to be, on the Lord. Amen? All right, well, we're out of time. Let me see how many we have in Sunday school here this morning.